Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. discussing all things Kings, the Kings' madness as they lose to the Celtics, 144 to 119. Talked about maybe some vocal leaders, some enforcers. I think Trey Lyles does a good job. I think that Sabonis does a pretty good job as well. But who else is out there? Now, this isn't the trade machine because these guys are free agents.
Right. There you go.
Loophole. So here's a, you know, loophole. Here's a name I want to ask. Udonis Haslem is on the list. I thought he retired officially, but maybe not.
Yeah, he probably did, but, like, who really believes UD? You know, come on. You can always collect another check.
I mean, if so, he is on the list. That wasn't where I was going. He is two spots under the guy I have, and I know there have been some. Well, yeah, well, Andre Iguodala is still on this list. Okay. So you have Andre Iguodala.
Sure.
And again, if you're just now tuning in, this is not for actual
skills.
This is not for too much of a skill set.
It's a particular set of skills.
Exactly. So you have.
I'm looking for a Liam Neeson.
Here's another one, Serge Ibaka.
Interesting.
Does that intrigue you, sir?
I don't think so. I don't think he. I think the problem with, even though this isn't somebody who needs to be great, I still think it's somebody who needs to play. We can't get a Thanasis, you know? We need
somebody. They're both on the list, by the way.
Really,
the other brothers.
The Antetokounmpos?
Yes. Kostas and Alex Antetokounmpo are both on the list as well. But that's still not where I'm going. What say you to a Montrezl Harrell?
That's interesting. That is really interesting. I don't hate that. I think that he seems to be the right kind of guy because I don't really even know how fiery he is, but even like he's one of those guys who his play seems to be infectious. Like he's he's all hustle, all heart. Like he's gritty. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna throw elbows a little bit, and you know he's just. I like it. I think that's a physical guy who maybe
you like
can
it more
steal
than JaVale.
I probably would like it similarly,
right.
but it would
right.
be different. And who knows? I mean, yeah, I just don't know how much Montrezl Harrell has left in his legs. I think, you know, he's a 6'8". Like, that's the only thing is it really doesn't help with the size issue of the Kings. Montrezl is I think listed at 6'9 or 6'8". And if he doesn't have the leaping ability he used to have before, then he's just not very effective. So that would be the only thing. But spiritually, I really like the idea of that. That's just an energy dude who comes in and you know, just completely changes the vibe of what's going on.
He is 29 years old.
Okay,
29 years old.
How old are his knees?
They have him listed at 6'7".
Okay.
All right.
That's even shorter than I was giving it
credit
for.
We just put some Dr. Scholes in. You'll be okay.
Yeah, right. Some lifts.
All right. And, you know, I think that's something that they could play with. All right. I think that's something they could play with. Now,
what, he played with the Sixers last year, I think?
Yeah. Now, it's not going to – I highly doubt that it'll happen. But as we search for these names – and by the way, Serge Ibaka is 34 years old.
Oh, wow.
Andre Iguodala is 39. And you have Udonis Haslem at 43.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little. Those guys are a little bit too. Because again, like I do think that this person needs to at least play a little bit. Like it is.
Yeah. Well, he got oddly enough, wasn't there a stretch where he got minutes last season?
UD. Yeah. He did. He played, I think, in like 5 or 6 games last year, which is. Wait, that's about 5 or 6 more games than what a 41-year-old Udonis Haslem should be playing, especially for a Heat team that ended up making the finals.
Here's a name that'll sound familiar. What say you to Willie Cauley-Stein?
No. 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 Absolutely not.
Can you even let me finish?
No. What is that supposed to bring us?
Grit.
Art.
Tattoos,
painting ability.
Sometimes you got to think outside the box.
He definitely is an outside the box thinker. That's for sure. He definitely is an outside the box thinker. Hard no on Willie Cauley-Stein. He can stay in Puerto Rico or wherever he's playing. I think he's playing in Italy these days.
Well, shout out Willie Cauley-Stein.
I'd rather not. I'd rather not.
It's not a wet blanket Wednesday,
is it?
He was not
good. I mean, no, he was just not good. I don't think anybody enjoyed the Willie Cauley-Stein experience here in Sacramento.
He actually wasn't awful for the Warriors.
Okay.
He wasn't terrible.
I'm glad for them. I'm glad to hear that for them because he was really terrible here in Sacramento.
I'm looking
here.
He
became afraid to dunk. He hurt his finger, and so on a block, I believe, and after that, he was afraid to dunk the ball.
I'm looking here as we always find our conversations as it pertains to busts and guys
yes.
that just didn't
always
figure it
does
out.
Come back.
And whenever I see this a list like this, remember Jarrett Culver?
Yeah.
That guy
super
is
high pick.
On this list. He was the sixth round
Does it
pick.
Have his age
or,
on
sorry,
there?
Sorry, the sixth pick
yeah.
in the 2019
I would guess he's like under
draft.
26, right?
He's 24. He's 24.
He's Keegan Murray's age, pretty much.
He's Keegan Murray's age.
I don't know if he's played an NBA game.
Yeah, he is with the Rio Grande Valley
Vipers. Oh, yeah.
The NBA G League. Wow. So you take swings and misses all the time in this
league.
Kings
fans know about that.
So that's something else, man, because that guy, I mean, they had that long run in March Madness. I think March
yeah,
Madness.
Yeah, right. That got him drafted pretty much,
March
right?
Madness. You got to be careful with March Madness. One of the most confusing situations yeah. when, oh, should we take this guy or who is this player? You have no clue.
Yeah. You see that this year with the Pacers. They took Jairus Walker at number 8, and he's from Houston, mm-hmm. and I don't know if he's played a game for the Pacers this year. I mean, he is somebody who had tons of hype, and let me see here. He has played 8 games total for the Pacers this year and a combined 84 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a guarantee just because you're in the lottery. It's never Kings fans had to learn that year after year after year after year after year after year 16 times that just because you're taken in the lottery and you're a high lottery pick does not mean you will get any return on that player.
Yeah. So
and Willie definitely fits into that category. Let me tell you,
yeah.
Willie Cauley-Stein, they tried. They tried to make it work, and didn't work out here. Didn't work out in Dallas. You say it worked out a little bit in Gold State, but
I remember it not being awful.
Yeah, I was not watching Willie at that point.
No, I mean,
definitely checked out at that point. So
getting back into the conversation of vocal leadership, yeah. right? And that's kind of how we ended up on this free agent page. And I think it would be a little bit tough to come into a team and then all of a sudden,
right, say,
hey, I'm the guy who's going to...
You guys know why I'm here, right?
Right.
To set y'all straight.
To whip everybody into shape. So if it has to be somebody already on the roster, and it's not going to be De'Aaron, for me, I'm looking at Domas. I'm looking at Sabonis. And maybe he's already doing it, right? Maybe one of these days we can sit closer to the sidelines and see what's going on in those huddles. But to me, it's got to be Domas, just based on what I've seen on the court, right? Maybe you weren't asked to be that guy on the previous teams you've been on and even this team last season, but it's got to be you, brother. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, he is the center. He's the anchor, ideally, of the defense, especially with how they kind of throw him out there on an island to be mm-hmm. the only rim protector on the floor at times. You could see how maybe he's somebody who, you know, can play free safety a little. It's like if you're traditionally playing, you know, that if you think of, you know, how the traditional zone defense is played, ideally Sabonis, more times than not, is going to be having a great view of how everybody should be moving. And so, yeah, I mean, ideally he should be somebody who's really vocal. And I think we've seen elements of it before, like we talked about earlier, but it's just, it's keeping it. I think a part of it is too, though, how much do you believe, and maybe this can be a universal, any sport, any walk of life conversation. Does it hurt that he isn't an elite defender at that point? Like, because, you know, it's, the first thing anyone's going to do when someone pipes up about something is, well, what are you doing about the situation?
Right.
And so that would be the only thing where I don't know if it's true or not, but would they be willing to just understand, like, hey, just because this guy isn't LeBron James and is probably right 100% of the time, does that mean that we shouldn't listen to him? I don't know. It's just that would be where my mind would initially go is, Oh, you want to tell us about defense? Well, how about the fact that Kristaps Porzingis is shooting over your head and Derek White is running around you like a merry-go-round? Like, you know, and I don't know if they're going to be that cynical, but, you know, the point stands.
Yeah, it's a good point, but there's only so many guys, right? There's more vocal leaders. I mean, Draymond in his backpack three, he doesn't have a problem calling people out. Sure now, does. All his power is on the defensive end, but Draymond has no problem calling people out.
Sure doesn't.
You know, I think there are a lot of guys. I would say both Morris twins, I feel like, would call people out, and I would call one of them. I would see where they're at, to be completely honest with you.
But there's a line, too, isn't there, between, like, just being mean and, like, actually trying to be productive, like, trying to be productive with how you're helping, which I think Draymond probably, isn't great at as we've learned, Draymond Green isn't really great at towing that line, but... That's also, like you said, too, it's already tough enough if you're going to be thrown into a situation. If you're just going to come into the situation, you know, going 100 miles an hour, that's probably not the right approach. Especially, again, if the root of the issue is there's a lot of nice guys here, I don't know how receptive nice guys are going to be. You know, you might need to kind of Trojan horse it. I like to use that term a lot, I'm finding. But you got to kind of, you know, slowly wean them into being talked to like that, if that makes sense.
Well, it's a bit similar to, you know, you've been at this company for a very long time.
Sure have.
So even somebody like me coming in and trying to...
Oh, don't get me started.
Trying to make a name, there is a bit of a balance to where, I want to help. I want this to be successful, but I can't come in too hot either.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So not that I would, but it's just in general, it's something that you're cognizant of. Yeah. So
if you come in and you're like, what's wrong with these microphone qualities?
Why are we doing this? What are we doing that? Yeah. And now everybody's thinking, whoa, this guy is a little bit much. So it is a dance, but I feel like Sabonis is the closest that they have. We've seen on the Sack Chat as well. Malik Monk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. It could be.
Same problem where I'm pointing at that dude and I'm saying, bro, the moment you talked about from yesterday's game, the closeout on the Derek White thing, that's Malik. And that's straight laziness. Mm-hmm. And so it's different when you're like Sabonis and you're not lazy. You just might not have the facilities for that big man.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between that and just not showing effort in terms of how you're going to receive that, too. Like, at least I know, hey, Domas might not be great at what he's saying, but he's spitting facts and he's trying to help, where maybe a guy like Malik, you're going to say, man, what are you talking about, bro? Like, you're the problem 75% of the time.
But that's the issue with just the who they have on the roster, because by that token, it would be Keegan Murray. And we know it's not going to be...
Sure. No, you're not wrong.
That's the problem. So I think you just got to live with what you got. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to have the conversation, where do the Kings go from here? If they win the next two, are they good? Is everything good if they win the next two? Or are you still worried about what could happen next? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's go to the phone lines and get through these calls. Mitch has been hanging on. What's up, Mitch? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. What you got for us?
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, Mitch. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, we lost to one of the best teams in the NBA, so let's not hit the panic button. But it just says that we should make another trade, get a scorer, the 6'7 variety. And also, I would love to have Montrezl Harrell. He hustles. His motor is always working. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games.
Thanks for the call, Mitch. Yeah. Look, I just said it. I don't think anybody is checking for Montrez, obviously. I don't even know if he's on a G League team now or if he would be willing to do that. But
it's somebody, that kind of prototype.
It's that kind of prototype. Yeah. Maybe you can find something similar. But if you're looking for somebody better in the league, it's going to cost you something, right?
Well, and also, like, it has to almost be at a very specific position too, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Kings – I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be, but it feels like the backup center and the backup guard, or point guard, that is, more specifically, are probably like the spots where you're looking to maybe throw in a different person besides Keon or Davion or JaVale or Alex Len. And, you know, those two positions just feel like the ones that if you are going to bring in a guy, it should probably be at one of those spots. Of course, the Kings need forward guys. They need the 6'10 guys that Mitch was just talking about, but those guys aren't available via free agency.
No, you're going to have to trade, give somebody up.
And everyone wants to keep their Jared Vanderbilts. Everyone wants to keep their Jaden McDaniels. You know, those guys aren't really on the trade block this year.
No.
They were last year.
They were last year. And
which is why people wanted them to hop on it then.
Yeah, it depends on
Monty McNair also is not blameless in any of this, y'all. I hear a lot of Mike Brown, a lot of team.
But we also
talk a lot about how there's just not the right personnel on this team.
But that goes to your caterpillar to butterfly. This isn't a finished product.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I think that there's problems that this team had last year that they just didn't address in the offseason at all. Like, length was still a problem for this team last year. Mm-hmm. They didn't address length. Backup center, Kings fans were dying for Mason Plumlee last year at the trade deadline. The Kings punted on backup. They actually did the opposite of punt on backup center. They brought in like five different backup centers and then cut them all because they were like, oh, JaVale McGee is the actual backup center that we wanted this whole time. You know, Davion Mitchell got pulled in game 6 and 7. That tells me that your coach probably doesn't think that that guy was good enough to be your backup point guard long term. They didn't address that at all. They signed Keon to a two-way and Jordan Ford, who I think some people were hoping would be the team's third point guard, and that was their solution there. Instead they brought in Sasha, who, you know, frankly has been a little underwhelming, I would say.
Sasha has been underwhelming?
I think from what people were expecting at the start of the season, yeah, I think people were hoping that Sasha was going to come in instantly, be like a sixth or seventh guy, probably a seventh guy, of course, Malik Monk, be the seventh guy and be consistent and was going to push a lot of Trey Lyles' minutes. And I think we've seen the opposite, that Trey Lyles, if anything, since coming back, has kind of started to bump into Sasha's minutes a bit. So yeah. And Duarte as well. I mean, Frankie even was asking us yesterday, like, are we sure Duarte was an upgrade over Terrence Davis, who we saw hit 10 threes the other day in the G League. So I'm not saying Monty McNair needs to be fired or, you know, everybody's talking about, I'm just saying, like, I see a lot of fire Mike Brown. I see which is ridiculous. I'm not saying fire Monty either. I'm just saying, you know, he's not blameless in this either.
916-339-1140. Let's get out to Emmy, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Emmy? You're on Sals and Watkins. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. I want to wish you all, first of all, Merry Christmas and a very, very Happy New Year. Obviously, it's this time of the year. You guys, I want to wish you happiness and health.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Emmy.
Also,
appreciate it.
I mean, I hope Sasha get. I know for Sasha it's tough, being that his family is Europe, and right now they are here. I just don't want to say until when. I don't want to even say these details. I think it's tough, but he's getting used to it. And I hope a lot of people vote for him for the All-Star team.
Thanks for the call, Emmy. Happy holidays to you as well. Yeah.
You think a big, big, like, inswell of Bulgarian voters. That'd be interesting. You know?
Right. And get out
also,
there.
Also, vote for De'Aaron as well.
Get out there and vote for your guys, De'Aaron, even after a game like this.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to need help. We got to make sure 30 doesn't get that starting spot.
That's right. They are the fifth seed. They are 16-10. And De'Aaron is the straw that stirs that drink. So vote De'Aaron. Vote everybody.
He did throw on the Taylor Swift shirt yesterday.
Did he?
I thought that was
a dated.
No,
I thought it was
a Photoshop. Yeah.
No, I mean,
let me see, because there was the obvious Photoshop of De'Aaron a couple days ago with like a square Taylor Swift shirt on.
Right, that was.
And
funny
then
one.
Somebody Photoshopped or I don't know if it's a Photoshop. Unconfirmed if it's a Photoshop. I believe it was. Of De'Aaron.
Don't let me
yesterday.
Throw the
it
show
was,
into
no,
shambles.
It was a Photoshop that you saw.
That's terrible.
He did not wear a Taylor Swift show yesterday.
I can't believe I just got caught and just announced that on air. I really believe that. But in my defense, Twitter was a mess yesterday. So, you know, it's not like I could go back.
You know, there wasn't a community. There was no community.
Brickford strikes again.
Yeah, that's right. There was no community note underneath.
Right.
That's on Elon.
That would have helped you out there.
Sorry
about that. Chris, you kind of dropped something a little hot there with Monty McNair and the blame pie and how much you go to him. So when we have the conversation about national media and we have the conversation about expectations and we have the conversation about fan expectations and the team in general, I guess really it comes down to, could this team be for, even if we don't think it is the team not being in, this would go back to Kevin O'Connor, not being in championship contention. Is that in part due to the moves that Monty McNair has made? It can be, two things can be true. He could have made moves to put the Kings in playoff contention, or to get in the playoffs, but maybe going into this season, he didn't do what maybe he could have done to put the team in position to make that next step, which is where it's, okay, well, again, we're cool with the Kings being a playoff team, but at the same time, what we're expecting from this roster versus the fact that this roster, it could have been better. You made some decisions where, like you said, they double down on shooting and their offense isn't as good.
Right.
And to me, it's the same as anything else when it's done in historic fashion. When do you see, as good as the Niners are, the chances of them putting up numbers like this next season are low. They just are.
Yeah.
Right? Because numbers like this. Aaron Judge breaks the American League home run record. Everybody wanted Aaron Judge. So did I on the Giants. The Yankees go ahead and take him. The chances of him hitting that many home runs a game?
Right.
Pretty low. Right? So you decide to double down on offense to, I guess, hope that you could sustain what you had.
Yeah.
But also you wanted to get better at defense, and luckily for them, Sasha's been better defensively than I think a lot of us thought. That'd be that'd be the part of Sasha that has surprised us.
Definitely.
But also, Sasha, I wouldn't call him a 3-and-D guy. But the question is, what were they expecting from him? You know, he was never going to create on his own.
Yeah.
Right? And this is where it gets, you talk about roster construction. Is there a world where this team needs Kevin Huerter and Sasha? I don't think they're they're completely the same or exactly the same, but there seems to be some redundancy on this roster.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, and we can talk about it more on the other side of the break.
Yeah,
but
I know.
No, it's fine. I think for the most part, it's what we do. I think for the most part, the thing that I think about when I'm going to look back on this offseason is there's a lot of risks that the Kings could have taken in the namesake of getting better, but I think Monty approached this offseason more from a cautious, hey, let's, and I was a proponent of it at the time, and I still think the results have shown that it's not the worst idea, but just let's make sure the foundation is there, and before we start building on what we got here, let's just make sure that what we saw last year was something legitimate and something that is stable enough to be built on. If that makes sense.
That's true. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, expectations for the Kings. And someone who used to frequent the 49ers might be out of a job at the end of the season. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Is this all the small things?
Yeah, yeah.
All the small things.
Yeah, yeah.
They did not. Do all the small things last
time. That's what I was trying to set up for you.
Yeah. Or the big things. They didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. No turnovers. I couldn't think of anything else.
And say Chris hates this game.
Say it ain't
so. Yeah, so I knew he wasn't going to participate.
Not too many TOs. Yeah, turnovers.
I got to get time. I could write a song, but
you
I
can go
need
off
time.
The top.
I need to know. That's not my forte.
We lost the challenge.
Say it ain't so. I will not go. Close out on the three-pointer. In the bucket, it will go.
I love
there you
it.
Go.
There you go.
A sizzle?
A sizzle can come. It can come and get you. It can get you. Taking you up to 2 p.m. So we will hear from Mr. Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason at about 1:45. Get their thoughts on last night's shellacking. The Celtics taking down the Sacramento Kings, who the Sacramento Kings, even though they did lose that game, and a lot of people are, us included, are reacting and or overreacting to it. You know, you got to keep in mind, Chris, that the Kings, when you look at the teams that were seen as, you know, possible contenders, they only have one loss to those teams, I guess, if you're not including. You should include the Warriors. So it's more like, I see people including the Cavs and the Mavs. You can't include the Cavs and the Mavs if you, and not include the Warriors. So they've beat the Thunder twice. They beat the Lakers twice. They beat the Mavs. They beat the Suns. They beat the Nuggets. They beat the T-Wolves. So plenty of reasons to still be optimistic about this team. I mean, we haven't even passed Christmas. Nothing counts before Christmas
right,
anyway.
That's what they always say.
Nothing matters before Christmas anyway.
It's when they want to start the season.
No need, as you know, we're more than halfway through the show, so it's time to turn the leaf.
Okay.
And begin to talk about the positives that we can take, not from the game, but just from this team. And the one thing we will say is that when this does pop up, typically they show up in that next game. And I'm expecting to come out firing on all cylinders tomorrow night. It's Friday night. People are going to be in a good mood. People are going to be ready. You're
trying to manifest this for yourself.
I am. But you got to think if you are a Kings fan that has tickets to tomorrow night, are you, one, thinking, man, I dodged a bullet, but two, maybe feeling a little bit better, thinking, well, maybe they're gonna want to redeem themselves.
Yeah, I mean,
or is it just me?
I would feel better about having a ticket to Friday than Saturday. That's for sure.
And look, if you have a ticket to Saturday, we are praying for you.
We need you. We need you there.
We need the loudest golden one for Saturday, but you got to get through Friday first. 916-339-1140. Let's go out to JR.
Oh.
Who wants to be a part of the conversation. Simone spelled it differently, so it threw me off. If this is the normal JR.
Yes, this is JR.
Then be nice,
I got
JR.
Self-conscious that sometimes you guys would think it's Junior, so I did JR.
There we go.
No, that makes
sense. All right,
sense.
I'll put it in as
What's
JR.
What's up, Junior?
What's up?
I'm confused. Who am I?
Junior.
who are you talking to right now?
Yeah.
Feliz Navidad. What's up, Styles and Watkins?
What's up,
Junior?
Afternoon delight. That's what I like to call you two.
I like that. I like that.
You like that? Star rockets in the night. Mm-hmm. There you go. Perfect. Have you guys ever asked Whitey to help you with the parody song?
No, we haven't.
Whitey really good. He's really good at it.
He's got a talent. He's
got talent, yeah. Not much, but he does have talent there.
He's got to be good at something.
You know what? That's what his parents used to say. God, somewhere there must be something in that body of his.
God,
we look like friggin' the misfit toys from Rudolph last night. Mm-hmm. We were running, but we started off so good. When I was sending texts, I'm like, holy crap, Keegan and Fox are about to go, like, you know, 18 for 20 from three. But weren't they, like, 5 for 6 to start the game?
Yeah.
De'Aaron was going crazy to start that game.
And I'm like, birthday boy is just feeling it. Yeah. And then what did he get in the second half?
Three points.
What is that? I only have so much Jim Beam in my cabinet. I can only drink so much.
You gotta be careful. Right?
Yeah, responsibly, please.
Well, like the Beam, and I got lit. So. But God, that made me sick. I am going both Friday and Saturday, so I'm hoping I can live through it and have a back-to-back win for a Christmas gift. To me, I mean, it's all about me, and I don't really care. So I do deserve it. I've been calling this show for years, working my butt off.
You have.
A couple back-to-backs once in a while. Hey, De La Salle, you went to De La Salle, young man.
I did.
How do they do in the playoffs this year in football? Wet blanket, your Vikings suck too.
Bye, JR.
Yeah, I clipped it.
Happy holidays there, JR. We already called
Come
out
on,
De La
Junior.
Salle
Get out of
losing
here.
In state championship. Hey, but they still have the most championships out of, I think, all the teams in California. They get there a lot.
They
just lose a lot. From the 916 on the text line, Kings' weakness are glaringly apparent in losses. We can't guard bigger shooters and play physical, period.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely, you know, if you're going to point to some similarities, absolutely. I mean, they struggle with Paul George. He was getting whatever he wanted. Kawhi, Brandon Ingram. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis yesterday. I mean, it's not news. I mean, the Kings really struggle with size, and you know, they need to get overall bigger at their forward and center spots. They just need to be able to throw lineups out there that can stand up with the LeBron, Vanderbilt, Anthony Davis lineups of the world, the Karl Anthony Towns, Gobert, McDaniels lineups of the world. Like, those are massive problems to deal with. And didn't even mention that big number 15 over in Denver either.
So here's my question. You just named off the Lakers and the Timberwolves, yeah, right? I don't know what we're supposed to do with the fact that the Kings are undefeated against those teams. Now, yeah, they're going to play the Timberwolves again, right, on Saturday, but I don't know what to do with that. And we watched
both of those teams when the Kings played them. Vanderbilt didn't have Jared Vanderbilt, didn't have Jaden McDaniels.
Do
so
you
which
think
is
both
like
those guys make
that
big of Vanderbilt, yes, can't shoot?
Yeah, no, he can't. But they're not there for they're there for defense. Like, they're there to make the Kings do exactly what they've done every time they play a team with length, and that's struggle to shoot the ball. Like, it's the fact that those guys have the ability to run out and guard the three-point line, but also, you know, if you want to take them off the dribble, you can't get around them. Mm-hmm. And the Kings just, they don't have the physicality, they don't have the size, and they just don't really have the personnel to beat those guys more consistently than not. And that to me is what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, those guys just, and the thing is, too, we've seen the Kings, they don't, even if they are going to drive the lane, they're not going to attack the rim.
No.
So those guys, knowing that, they'll cheat over, but they have long enough wingspans to get that pass out to the corner when De'Aaron or Malik drives into the paint and then kicks it out to the perimeter. That guy's long enough and fast enough to either disrupt it or completely blow it up.
Well, I think we did see something last night, and defensively, they couldn't stop anything, but I liked what I saw from Trey Lyles last night, and I know at this point, offensively, he's just a shooter,
yeah,
right? But if you're going to continue to help, if De'Aaron can continue to put pressure on guys and have the defenders make a decision, you're always going to decide to follow De'Aaron. So Trey Lyles is going to continue to have open threes, yeah, and shots throughout the course of the season. So I did like what I saw from Trey Lyles, if we're looking at some of these positives.
Did you call yourself a Trey Bay?
I'm definitely a Trey Bay. I've been I like Trey Lyles.
Nah,
when
just,
he came out,
you gotta get the stamp.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely a Trey Bay, and I think that he can do some things. The problem is, a lot of times, like you said, offensively, it's not an issue, mm-hmm, right? Shots are going to fall, yeah, eventually. But defensively, you got to find somebody that is just a stopper,
yeah,
right? Somebody that can stop the bleeding to the 916's point on the text line, the bigger shooters, right?
Yeah.
And they just don't have that. And then that affects everything. Because what? I mean, Jaylen Brown, he's an elite player, right? Yeah. But those guys, when you start having to help, ultimately, that's going to leave open shots. And then the Housers of the world and the Pritchards of the world, right, are going to get open shots. And in a different – one thing I will say, and we haven't really talked about the Celtics side of this, is that is a prideful organization.
Yeah.
That is a Class A organization. And – we talked about what they have coming up next, and we looked at it a couple different ways. And I think the one dynamic that we didn't mention last night is that pride. Because, okay, you lost to the Warriors in a game you never were supposed to lose to. Now, on top of that, you know what? If the Kings come out and take care of business, fine. We have two games in L.A. coming up, one being the Christmas game against L.A., Jason Tatum, get right, and we typically don't play Al Horford on back-to-back nights. But that is – and maybe myself, I just undersold the Celtics and their pride. And I said when we were there watching them dap each other up before the game, I got shivers, and I thought, just like I do when I come in this studio at the beginning of the day and Dave has it at 42 degrees. And I thought to myself, all right – they look like they got something to prove. And say what you want about the chip on their shoulders for the Peyton Pritchards and guys like that. When you're playing free and easy, I think it can flip a switch like that. Yeah. Hey, We're now the underdogs. We're missing our best player. Let's just go out there and see what we can do and play with that pride because nobody expects us to do anything. And I think it caught the Kings off guard. And slowly but surely, we know the Kings aren't the youngest team out there. Slowly but surely, you are going to learn. You're going to learn today that teams, honestly, besides you, Kings, are not just going to lay down. You can't just come out and it's De'Aaron's birthday and the Celtics are going to say, here, you want a W, you want a W beam, you want a beam pie, you want a beam cake, a happy birthday cake.
Yeah.
They're not just going to lay down. And I think the Kings thought, oh man, we came out hot, we're hitting shots, why aren't they going away? Because they get paid too.
Yeah.
And the Celtics, without Jason Tatum, probably still about a 6 seed in the East.
Yeah, probably. I mean, especially if Porzingis is going to play like that and, you know, Derek White's going to play like that. Like, yeah, I mean, they've got players too. Like, it's not like they then become, you know, the Portland Trailblazers or something like that. They've got dudes who are probably chomping at the bit, to your point. Mm-hmm. Like, Peyton Pritchard's like, cool, I get 25 minutes tonight. Like, time to show I've had a struggling season. Time to get into a little bit of a rhythm. And
he did. Yeah,
the Kings let those guys, you know, they let them play free, like you said. I mean, if you're not going to check them, if you're going to allow them, if you think that you can just beat them straight up head-to-head, say, hey, we're not going to play defense, we just think that we can outscore y'all, well, you know, the Celtics are going to say, hey, we packed that thing too, and you will get clapped.
And you did get clapped, that, unfortunately. So have some pride. The Kings will be all right, but we'll continue to discuss the aftermath of Boston and its fans in Sacramento. I'm still flabbergasted. And you told me.
I did.
You said, Alan, just wait. I said, there's no way. All right, we got to get to a break. We get back, continue to have the conversation. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Simone, any plans for the holidays?
I have some family visiting. I'm still in one fantasy playoff situation, so still focusing on that very much. I am owed my dinner date night from my Eagles fan tomorrow, so I finally get that coin tomorrow.
Good for
you. It's going to be a big check. I can't wait.
Good for you. Yeah, no, make sure you definitely do it up. Make sure you definitely do it up.
You're taking on the Kings game. What are you getting into, Chris?
Tomorrow, well, I guess for the holiday weekend, there's games tomorrow and Saturday. Sunday, probably sit home watching football. Monday, well, Sunday at least we have Christmas Eve, so I usually get together with my mom's side of the family. Got tons and tons of cousins and second cousins, aunts, uncles that meet up, and you know, we do a Christmas Eve little shindig, and then Christmas Day is actually, for the most part, Christmas Day is actually pretty uneventful.
Chill.
Yeah, I think I'll meet up with some family early in the day, and then you know, probably just hang out for the rest of the day.
Are we all still like reaping the benefits of other people cooking? We're not like the cooks yet for like the holidays.
Me personally, yeah.
I'll cook for Thanksgiving. I'll help
my mom's
cooking. But yeah, Christmas normally I don't have to do too much, but who knows? The older I get, the more I have to do, unfortunately.
Now, you told me, I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to lie on you like this, but you're not I wouldn't say your daughter's not going to have a super Merry Christmas, correct? Didn't you say you weren't going to get her tons of gifts? I'm just wondering what your present operation has been looking like. I know this is your first Christmas with
yeah,
with the daughter, right?
Yeah. No, I'll get her something. I guess I don't
You're
really
a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, if you have the whole family getting her a bunch of stuff.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah,
was
the like family's getting her a bunch of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I could get something sentimental, but
no,
I'm not going to
get
her a toy.
Yeah, I shouldn't have phrased
it. Something
I'm sorry,
like that.
I didn't mean to lie on you. Like,
but I mean, I will. You know, they're all from Santa.
Yeah,
this is a community fund.
Right. No, it's totally
it's
for sure.
A community. Everybody's got to put Santa.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes. Of course. And Santa's going to. Get
But yeah,
stuff,
I'm not
going to
get her some random. Yeah. I mean, I. She's got so
Especially
many.
She's so young too.
She's
it's
got
like
so
you
many
can't
stuffed
buy clothes
animals
and,
already. Yeah. If I get one, this is the first Christmas stuffed animal.
Right.
I don't know.
What about like shoes and clothes that they're constantly growing out of? Anything like that?
That's what I don't want to do.
Oh, okay.
No. Did you do any like you know, since it is the first Christmas, like any traditions you're trying to start, you know, pictures.
Yeah,
you did the picture with Santa.
Yeah, we did
stuff,
the picture with Santa. But, yeah, we'll do some stuff on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I might get something as I don't know, something, a memento almost versus a toy.
Right.
Or something that she can't even play with now. I mean, she's starting to play with some toys a bit. She got so many already, man.
No, for sure.
And she's just about to, every day there's a new package coming in. That I'm just,
that's
all
right. True, right? Yeah, because you guys have out of town family too.
Yeah,
so, you're probably,
I'm just
be coming in.
You know, I'm trying to. I got to see what didn't get picked up.
There you go. Yeah,
and then we'll go from there. Come on, you out in these streets.
Not a Merry Christmas was a crazy thing. Yeah. We need you to be a
Your
leader right now in the locker room,
of a first
Chris.
Christmas.
That was crazy.
But I do prescribe to.
Look, I'm just trying to make sure all kids out there. Have
yeah,
a Merry
but
Christmas.
I do prescribe to. No, am I going to go crazy with a bunch of presents that I then have to open
right.
for her?
Yeah, right.
Because she is a baby.
You're a mean one.
All right, come on.
You're just going to wrap them off.
I got to wrap them. I got to unwrap them. I mean, what are we doing?
Who's the surprise for? You know, that's, come on.
Speaking of, well, when it starts, right, you're probably, what, 1, 2 years old, something like that, when you can just open presents and you start, not that you're going to remember, right? That's why the whole taking to Disneyland thing, I'm not taking her to Disneyland until she's a cool.
Right.
7, 5?
I put a 5, yeah.
5, 6, 7? I sound like LeBron.
I'm so bad.
Not
with,
1.
Yeah. Not 1.
Not 2.
Not 2.
Not
definitely
3.
Not 3.
I'm
not
just
4.
Saying,
5, 6.
Not 5.
I'm just saying, man. And I definitely am not getting anything for the rest of my family. I'll just wrap up the baby.
Yeah.
And say, surprise.
This is the gift.
Presents.
Yeah.
You guys,
is
you know,
the
all the pictures you're taking. Things like that. Here's the question, right? Here's the question. We know when, 1, 2 years old, when did you stop, I guess, looking forward to Christmas? You know, okay, maybe my parents will get me 1 or 2 gifts.
Right.
When, hey, you're old. Was it 18?
Right. It was probably, I mean, it's definitely in the high school range. I can't remember. I can't pinpoint, which is kind of sad. I feel like I should be able to pinpoint when was the year Christmas died for me. But,
oh, my God.
You know, to Alan's point, like, there is, like, you know, Christmas as a kid is, like, everything.
Pick one thing. You want a PS4.
Right.
You want a laptop. Yeah. You're not going to be going through a bunch of stuff. And then you get even older, and it's socks and ties.
Right,
and
practical things.
Yeah, and then you stop getting everything because you have a kid, and then...
Well, and now I'm at the stage where, I don't love it. I understand why it's best for everybody, but now it's like the Secret Santa era of my family. Where
we did.
Everybody gets one. I don't want to buy everybody something.
I like
so
it.
Instead, it's just,
I'm with you.
To me, it's just like, it feels like, come on, like it's Christmas. Like, I want to open like 5 or 6 things.
So
like,
you're going to buy everything
so that's the problem
family?
Is I don't want to buy everything for everybody, but I want to receive everything from everybody.
Oh,
but yeah, the buying,
you guys,
and that's what I'm saying. Like
out.
At that point, like Christmas isn't that anymore. Like at what point does Christmas become no longer am I receiving 5 to 6 to 8 or whatever?
It's not your Christmas. Yes. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
I think.
Yes,
I think.
There
you
go.
After you probably get, I want a new laptop.
High school
is when it starts to, you want a new baseball bat. All right. New cleats, something like that.
Right.
I would say,
once you
probably
get into college,
junior
you're getting,
year.
Like, practical, like, oh, here's something for your mini fridge and I don't know.
Right. It's a bunch
house
of
appliances.
Right. Random stuff
pots
that you don't
pans.
Necessarily need.
Oh, and then every college kid, of course,
I
is going to receive
pots and pans.
Everyone's
going to
receive Tupperware. That's when you're officially an adult. When your parents give you that Costco Tupperware set,
right?
And you're like, oh my gosh, yes.
Thank
this is
you.
Awesome.
That's when you know you're cooked.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're
cleaning supplies and Tupperware.
I'm old now. Because
I
I'm
didn't say that, Chris said.
No,
that.
I would say washed is the
washed.
Term.
Chris said my
your
daughter
Christmas
isn't going to have a good...
A Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas. And,
and Simone.
Simone is old and washed. Thank
is
you.
An elder statesman.
Yeah.
All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are discussing more stats that may not be true. And if you were a college athlete right now, would you want to leave school? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.